Hello, I'm Rosie Goldsmith, and this is the Commonwealth Writers Podcast, celebrating 10 short story writers from 5 regions of the Commonwealth. We're calling it 10 by 10, which means I've got 10 minutes to talk to each author. Today, we're hearing from Genevieve Barua, the Indian author and short story writer from Assam. Now, although she's only published one novel and one collection of short stories, she's already considered one of India's best contemporary short story writers and a very special voice in Assam's literary life. Hello there, Genevieve.
Hello, Rosie.
Writing from and about Assam has its challenges. How has Assam's history shaped you and your fiction?
That's a very interesting question, Rosie, because as you mentioned, Assam is on the periphery of the country. It's right up in the northeast corner of India. And in a sense, it's at the interface of Southeast Asia and India, where it shares boundaries with countries like Bangladesh, Myanmar, the old Burma, China, definitely, Bhutan. And historically, a lot of people are not aware of this, but there were very close links with the Southeast Asian countries. In fact, just before the British came in, our kings were descendants of Shan tribe, the Shan state in Burma. They were princes who came from there, came across the Patkai Hills, across the borders in those days, and settled down in Assam. So writing from there is like writing from the edge of the country, the edge of the world as we know it here in India. And it's an interesting perspective. And I have grown up all across the country, so I have that sometimes an outsider-insider kind of perspective, and that makes it even more interesting. There are strong emotional bonds to the state, to the place I'm from, yet there's a lot of exposure to the places outside the state, and from these two points comes my fiction, really.
Now, Assam is both, really. It is a troubled province, but it is also extremely beautiful. I mean, do you manage to reconcile in your writing that beauty and conflict?
If you read my short fiction, particularly my short fiction, I took a conscious stand to write about the times before the troubles, as we call them. It has, for the last 30 years, been a flame, really, a flame simmering, smoldering at times. And it is a very troubled place. Yes, it is. But I think what I did was I wanted to write about the period of my childhood. This was a time when Assam was still peaceful. It's still beautiful, as you say. It's magnificent, really, the natural beauty. The hills, the rivers, the jungles, the forests. I mean, everything is so lush, so lovely. What I decided to do was, I think, write about the more peaceful time before the troubles. It was a very laid-back time. It was a very, very peaceful state, a very safe. No unlocked doors, no unlocked car doors. You could walk out anytime, anywhere at night. And the nature of the people there, the nature of the tribes, the plains, hills tribes, the local people, is so gentle. It sort of blends with this laid-back, lazy landscape, and it creates a really sort of lovely feeling.
Genevieve, do you find that these local stories that you tell to a large degree, I mean, do you feel that they can have a global reach and appeal?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the whole idea. I mean, having rooted the stories in the place, in the physical landscape, in the social landscape, in the cultural landscape, eventually what I do write about are human relationships. I think my point of fascination is human nature and human relationships. You know, all that goes on beneath the surface of what you see. So eventually when, even though I set a story in a Guwahati next to the river Brahmaputra, eventually it's about love and loss, longings, betrayals, friendships, marriages. And I do think those themes are universal. I don't know if it's really that necessary to explain everything. For example, in some part of my fiction, in a short story, you'll find a description of maybe a marriage ceremony. But that's what it is. It's just a description of a particular ritual. And not to look too deep beneath the surface, it just lends a kind of local flavor, local taste to the whole story. You know, so I think what has to come through, and maybe I hope what does come through, is what the story is about human values, human nature, the human condition, really.
It's interesting, though, there's a paradox, because it's actually quite difficult to physically get hold of your stories. And I was thinking maybe there's a digital solution to all that in this global internet-driven world, that we should create an online subscription magazine or something, so there's more kind of global sharing of stories.
There are several online magazines, and a couple of my stories have appeared in them. And those, of course, like you said, you can access anywhere, from anywhere and anywhere at all. So that's really a great idea. And what you suggest, yes, could be one way around it. But again, copyright would come into it. For example, if a particular short story, I think, was published in a collection in India, one would have to seek permission. Of course, the best thing is for it to be published far and wide, but that doesn't always happen.
Well, we can hope. We can keep pushing for that as well. Now, Assam, of course, has a very long literary heritage with several great writers across the centuries. And the short story has always been very popular, hasn't it? Is this a proud literary heritage for you?
It absolutely is, because the short story in vernacular Indian tradition has a lot of respect. I think what it does not have in the English-speaking world, or, you know, even in the Western world today, in vernacular India, be it in Assam or a Bengal or Tamil Nadu or in Punjab, has a great tradition and a lot of respect. So there are a lot of writers. They have historically been great writers. There are still very, very, very good contemporary writers, and a lot of magazines. The sharing we talked about, a lot of magazines, e-magazines and print magazines, which bring out only short fiction. So that really is a fantastic thing in vernacular. A lot of the writers I admire, my short fiction writers I admire, are Assamese. I do read them in Assamese and in translation. They've always been sort of lights I look to when I write my fiction.
Now, before we hear from you and one of your short stories, which I'm really looking forward to, just very quickly, you are a Commonwealth writer as well. You were shortlisted for the Commonwealth Book Prize. What does it mean to you to be identified as a Commonwealth writer?
It's a great honour, particularly the year I was shortlisted. There were such wonderful novels. It feels fantastic to be up there with that kind of a writer, you know, with those writers. And of course, the Commonwealth is always special, isn't it? For all of us who've been part of that heritage, it does mean a lot.
Well, that was 2012, and now we're bringing it right up to date and hearing one of your short stories. Now, I love your very beautiful, quiet, subtle writing, your close observation and very tight structures as well. And I think what jumps out really for me are the interior lives of your characters. You've published one collection of short stories, Next Door, but I think you've got something rather special and exclusive for us on the Commonwealth Writers Podcast. Tell us what it is.
I do. It's a short story called Birdsong. It's not from the original collection, written much after. It's been part of an e-magazine, but not really been published in print. Birdsong. So, what have you decided? Directly above her is a scarlet minivet. He is a striking bird with his scarlet and black plumage and is sitting patiently as if presenting himself to her. She tries to find the best angle for the picture. The branches of the tree are bare. It is almost winter and the bird is flamboyant against the stark silhouette. Are you going to answer? Her foot snags on a jutting out root as she presses on the button and the bird flies away casually, as if judging that enough time has been given and now he must move on. On the viewing screen, she is left with a red blur, the exact color and ferocity of anger. His voice is tinged with that color now and every so often. Across the small waterhole, a scarlet flash in a jackfruit tree. She makes her way swiftly to the foot of the tree. The bird is perched, motionless above her, his long tail balancing him just so. She raises her head, peering through the viewfinder, trying to position the bird. Warm breath against her neck. What the hell do you think you're playing at? He tugs at her shoulder. She loses her balance and throws an arm out, gripping the tree trunk. The bird flies away noiselessly. Listen, you have to decide one way or the other. His voice is now jagged with fury. She is keeping him from the cricket match on TV, even on holiday in the middle of the forest. He remains glued to the screen. But he, too, is keeping her from her birds. Her jaw assumes a stubborn set. She thinks of all the times he has remained wedded to the television, when she lay ill in bed with a dengue fever, shivering and frightened, when she walked their newborn son to sleep at night, frantic with pain from the C-section and worry, when she wanted to watch the birds on a late-night program. Excuse me, she says, and pushes past him to the steps at the base of the small hill. She runs up the steps easily. He follows. She can hear him cursing as he pushes his way up slowly. At the top of the hill is a small belt of thick woodland. Tall silk cotton trees rise into the cloudless sky. A bulbul, a red whiskered one, sits on a lower branch. It is so fat, it is almost like a small ball. She smiles at the sight. This has been a good idea after all. Her mother had urged her to come away for the weekend. I will take care of Neil, she had said. Go sort out things with him. Divorce is not a solution. Divorce. The word terrifies her mother. In the beginning, she had been afraid too. How would she bring up a fatherless child? He had been confident, cocky almost. You will never manage without me.
Thank you so much, Janvi Barua, for reading to us from your short story, Birdsong. That was 10 by 10, the Commonwealth Writers Podcast. I'm Rosie Goldsmith, and goodbye for now.